Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. One verse for you. 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Living Faith Church. We thank you for this time of worship. We're able to saturate in the presence of God, how we'll ever be in your presence. And Lord, that we always stay amazed at your mercy and your grace and your love. And may we never lose that amazement, that fervor, that passion in our lives. Lord, right now, I ask you to bless this word. I ask you that it will change our hearts, change our lives, that it will point us to Jesus and draw us closer to him. Right now, in Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply called The Land of Confusion. The Land of Confusion. The Bible here says God is not the God of confusion. He's a God of peace. He's a God of peace. Confusion simply means lack of understanding or uncertainty or being bewildered or unclear. Genesis, being sung by Phil Collins, sang the song, The Land of Confusion, right? There's too many men, too many people making too many problems and not much love to go around, he said. Can't you see this is a land of confusion? That was actually a pretty wild video, but we didn't show the video here. I didn't want to do that. But you know what? The ultimate statement in that song says, but this is the world we live in. This is where we're at. We are in a land of confusion. Have you ever been confused? Some of you right now are trying to answer that question or are confused. You're confused trying to answer the question. I mean, imagine if every day, I remember in school, I'm glad the kids are going back to school. Yes, they need to learn. But I remember the greatest days, especially in high school, was when you had a substitute, right? You had that sub show up. And when word would travel, you ever notice that? You get the home room, it's like, hey, so-and-so's not here today. We got a sub. Yes. And I'll never forget, I think it was, I don't know, economics. I don't know what class it was. It's my senior year in particular. I remember this very vividly. The substitute teacher's name was Mrs. Kinder. No relation to me. But she had that big bun. You remember her, Janie Stevie? She had this big bun. And she was like, she always wore a dress and prayed Church of God Holiness. And her head just nodded the whole time. She was like 80 years old. And she would take roll. And while she was taking roll, people were literally jumping out the windows. They wouldn't leave through the door. They would open up the windows and jump out. All right? And imagine if every day you had a substitute teacher, how confused you would be, especially in algebra, right? Some of you were confused in algebra and you never had a sub. But imagine if you had a substitute who wasn't a subject matter expert and that person was never there who was supposed to teach you. You always had a substitute. There would always be confusion. You would never pass the test when there's always a substitute. It brings confusion. Confusion brings chaos with the very opposite of order. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible tells us. He is not the God of chaos. He is the God of peace. A God that brings stability, a God that delivers, a God that provides. And the provider, the deliverer, the one that brings stability is the one that establishes order in our lives. That's the God we serve. We all have those people that only bring chaos in our lives, don't we? They only bring chaos and confusion in our worlds. We typically avoid those people. Why? Because we don't want the confusion and the chaos that comes along with them, right? We distance ourselves from them, not because we don't like them. We love them. That's why, because we want to keep away from them. We love separating ourselves from them. Why? Because all they bring is confusion and chaos. We don't want that. For the most part, we don't like chaos. We like order. We like consistency. We like sanity, don't we? I like normal. It was about a year ago. At the Kinder household, it was a Friday night, and I'll never forget, I was laying in bed, Josh, it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and I remember Kelly getting up and walking through the house. I remember Kelly coming back, and Kelly's like, Don, of course, I ain't got my hearing aids, man. I can't hear nothing. I'm like, what? She's hitting me, she's shaking me. I was like, what? She said, there's a cat in the house. I was like, a cat? We don't have a cat. We don't got a cat at the Kinder house. There's a cat in the house. I'm thinking, how did a cat get in the house? Right? So we have this doggy door that we used to leave open. Right? So if the dogs had to get up and do their business, they could go out the doggy door and come back in. Well, this night, something came in, didn't go out. So it's like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I mean, everybody's walking around. We're confused. It's in chaos. Kelly's got both the dogs. They're going absolutely bananas. And there's a cat downstairs in Caleb's room. It was on a pennant. It was on a pennant on the wall, hanging. Right? Caleb wakes up. So what happened is the dogs got up and sensed the cat and chased the cat downstairs. Right? Total chaos was reigning. Total confusion. I finally get my senses. I go downstairs. Hannah fortunately wasn't home because it was all over her room, bouncing off. I get in Hannah's room and the thing is hanging on the curtains, literally hanging. I'm thinking, okay, I start shutting doors. I got to get this cat out of my house because it's creating chaos. So sure enough, I fortunately get it to go up the steps. Unfortunately, at the top of the steps is Kelly with both dogs in her arm. And about this time, I swear to you, that cat jumped 8 steps in the air. It just soared. And part of that soaring, Kelly still has a scar on her arm. It scratched her arm pretty good. A whole other story about tetanus shots and Kevin giving advice. And story for another day. So I get this cat. I finally got it into the family room, right? And I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, man. I should be asleep. I don't need this confusion and chaos in my life. So I thought, I got to get the dogs out of here. We got to shut doors. So I thought, okay, I got it where I need it. So I'm going to open the patio door. It's behind the couch. So I get a broom, and I thought, I'm going to shove that cat. I'm going to force this cat to that door. Fortunately, I did. The cat sensed what I was doing or saw an escape. That thing dove. I mean, flew over the deck. It didn't like climb. It flew out of my yard. It never came back, I promise you. But, man, that night was chaos. That night was confusion. Don, there's a cat in the house. I'm like, we don't have a cat. Right? And then it dawned on me. So obviously we leave the doggy door shut now. Last thing I want is a raccoon or a possum. Right. Don, there's a possum in the house. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that coming in my house. But man, that night was chaos. And why do we not like chaos? Why do we not like confusion? Because we're like God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let's make man in our image. That's plural there, which proves the Trinity, which is a great teaching moment. Let's make them in our image. And if we're like God, then guess what? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is a God, not the God of confusion. He's a God of peace. And if we're like God, then we like peace. We don't like confusion. We don't like chaos. We don't like crazy moments going on in our lives. We want order. We want stability. We want normal. We are triune beings. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body, just like God has 3 parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't like confusion and chaos because we're like God. A couple had 2 little boys, ages 8 and 10. I can almost see this being Avery and Logan, who were excessively mischievous, except the mischievous part. They were always getting into trouble, and their parents knew that if anything occurred in their town, their sons were going to get blamed for it. So she thought she was going to do something about it. So she takes the 8-year-old and she takes him to the minister at the church. And he sits in this pastor's office. And he's sitting there and this pastor says, "Where is God?" And the little boy just freezes. And again he says, "Where is God?" And the little boy just tightens up even more. And the third time says, "Where is God?" And about that time the little boy runs out of the church, runs all the way home, goes diving into the closet. And his older brother comes and says, "What's going on?" He said, "It's bad." He said, "God's missing. They think we did it." Right? That's the world we live in. It's confusion. It's chaos. God's missing. And they're blaming us. It's terrible. We are in a time where people are wondering where God is, aren't we? Did we lose God somewhere along the line? Our society is in chaos. Our world is confused. We're certainly morally heading in the wrong direction. If this is normal, it's not working out very well. We're seeing more confusion every day in our world. Turn on the TV, the very first thing you see is fake news. Everything's fake news now. Everything. I mean, I don't know what real news is because it's all fake.
That's right.
So I guess Facebook's real. Maybe. That's a new catchphrase, isn't it? Fake news. It used to be so much, but nowadays it's hard to know if any news is real. You don't even know if news is real anymore. Politically, we are confused. We have the left, we have the right, we have Democrats, we have Republicans. We have independents, we have progressives, we have liberals, we have moderates, we have conservatives, we have socialists. That's confusing. All of two parties. All that is in two parties. People are getting confused. We have an identity crisis going on in our world. The classification of male and female on paperwork is being modified. It's being modified now. You can book plane tickets now and you don't have to be male or female. You can be other. And there's other boxes there. We won't get into that. That's confusing to me. I mean, Kevin is working at the Scout Jamboree. He's got a 14, 16-hour break. He got to hang out with us today, and he's got to go back. And I was reading this week, there was, 45,000 scouts and 8 or 10,000 volunteers, and it's just a lot of people up there. But you know it's no longer called Boy Scouts? It's called Scout Movement. It's not the Boy Scouts anymore. It's a Scout Movement. I don't see Boy Scouts selling Girl Scout cookies. That's confusing to me. That confuses me. Just this week, people are crazy. I'm not going to say that. Let's get that out of the way. People are crazy. I should have bought that t-shirt at the beach back in Memorial Day. It says, God is great, dogs are good, and people are crazy.
Right.
Kelly wouldn't let me buy it. But it's true. I just read an article this week that in Berkeley, California, they are now, you're not allowed to use the word manhole cover anymore. They've rechanged their language in their bylaws. Now it's called maintenance cover. It's not a manhole cover, it's a maintenance cover. They no longer, in any of their bids or proposals that the city receives, can use the word manpower. They now have to use human effort on their bids and proposal. You can't use the word manpower. It's confusing to me. It's confusing to me. This same town just outlawed any future expansion. You're not allowed to have natural gas. No natural gas hot water tanks, no natural gas furnaces, no natural gas stoves. You're not allowed to have natural gas anymore in any future builds. They want to get away from fossil fuels. All right, so now they're only using electricity, which they get from two states away, which is burning a coal-fired power plant. I'm confused. You don't want fossil fuels, yet you're getting your energy from a fossil fuel power plant. Brilliant. That's confusing to me. That confuses me. And that's the world we live in. Those who do stand for righteousness are called intolerant and narrow-minded. We have churches on every street corner, but that does not seem to make much of a difference, does it? We have Baptists. We have First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist. We have Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, Nazarene, Full Gospel, Church of God, Holiness, Assembly of God, Free Will Baptist, No Will Baptist. I made that up. Apostolic, Wesleyan, Christian Missionary Alliance, Advent. Then you got the greatest LFC, baby.
That's right.
But it's all confusing. It's confusing. All these names, all these signs, all these beliefs. Why do they have all those beliefs? Well, I don't believe that verse is really relevant for today. So let's start a movement. Start our own church. Mark and I, years ago, I don't know if you remember that, we saw a church on the way to the beach somewhere. It's Church of the Baby Jesus. Did Jesus not grow up? Church of the Baby Jesus. I want to go worship there. That's strange. I'm confused. It's confusing. It's not what God's will. It's not God's will that the world, the church, and our personal lives are a state of confusion and chaos. Wherever God is not present, though, there is chaos and confusion. Just imagine what would happen to the universe if God were to remove his hand from it. Just imagine if God would remove his hand from the universe, what this place would look like. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if you don't know these verses, you should. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The very first two verses in the Bible presuppose that God created the heavens and the earth. Right out of the gate, man, God created it all. It presupposes. I mean, right out of the gate, there's no way to get around it. God dives right in verse 1 in the very topic, let him know that he started this. God created. When you read those words, form and void actually means it was chaos. The earth was in chaos. And God took that chaos and established order. He established order. So what we learn about God at the very beginning is He is a God of order. And all through the book of Genesis, especially the first couple of chapters, you'll read of how God said and there was, and God said and there was, and God said and there was. He created all this. Why? Because He was a God of order. 6 days. The Bible says 6 days. You know, that's a good children's church. We get them every time on that. So how long did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? 7 days. No, it's wrong, man. Some of y'all have missed that question if I'd asked you this morning. I know seven. No, it wasn't 7 days. It was six. He rested on the seventh. But God is a God of order. He establishes things with order and principle, with a design path. He's not a God of confusion. In this passage, we read that God created everything, the heavens and the earth. The earth was without formless and void in the original text, which means to convey the idea of confusion and disorder. God created the earth to be inhabited, but for a brief time, before He created plants, animals, man, light, and so forth, the earth was void of anything. It was in chaos. If God had just left things the way they were in Genesis 1-2, there would be no life. But yet, God set the universe into order with a divine path. Many people think that the universe just happened by accident. Think about a couple things with me. There was no Big Bang. We'll start there. There was no Big Bang. If there was a Big Bang, it's because God says bang and it happened, right? There was no Big Bang. Things to think about. The universe has set up itself in a very orderly fashion. When was the last time one of our planets ran into another one? Has Pluto ever ran into anything? Has Mars ever collided with Venus? Has any of those planets ever gotten our way? No, because they were designed with a specific purpose and a specific creator with a specific plan. It was all very orderly. What are the odds? There are billions of stars in the universe, yet they are all orderly in orbits. What are the odds? The movement of our planets of our solar system is so precise, scientists can calculate exactly where a planet will be hundreds of years from now. Exactly where it'll be 100 years from now. The Naval Observatory, United States Timekeeper. Y'all thought it was your microwave. It's not. It's not even your watch or your Apple phone. The United States Timekeeper continually observes the stars and adjusts its master clock accordingly. It uses the stars to tell your Apple phone what time it is. They use the stars, the same ones that have been there since Genesis chapter 1. We now know when the comets are coming, right? You may tell me when the last time Halley's Comet was here? 1986, right? The next time it'll be here is 2061. They already know that. It's predetermined. Why? Because everything is order. Everything is easily to adjust because God is a God of order. The earth rotates on its axis at a tilt of 23 degrees, which allows for a greater surface of the earth to be tilted and makes possible the seasons we have. Now, some of you don't like seasons. Move to San Diego. Actually, Kevin did tell me downstairs, this Boy Scout or Scout movement, Jamboree, there's 152, 154 nations represented, and it's been in the 50s a couple nights this week, and there's people from Ecuador and stuff, they're freezing. They don't know, they weren't prepared. Be prepared. You ain't prepared, bro. You didn't get the merit badge. I made it all the way to Eagle Scout. I do regret, to Star Scout. I do regret not finishing. I was one step from Eagle when I was 15 years old. I do regret now not finishing my Eagle Scout. But I was always prepared. We camped out in snow. We did winter camps, summer camps, right? But these guys aren't prepared. Fail. Scout movement. The earth rotates at 1,000 miles per hour. If it rotated only 100 miles per hour, the days and nights would be 10 times longer. The summer would sun would burn all vegetation. The winter's night would be incredibly cold. We couldn't survive. The earth is the right distance from the right side sun for life as experienced on earth. If the earth were farther away from the sun, the climate would be too cold. If it were closer, it would be too hot. If the sun were smaller or larger, we would either freeze or we would roast, which some of you thought we were 2 weeks ago. It was pretty hot. Did you know that that on the moon in one lunar day, which is about 15 earth days, the temperature varies from minus 214 degrees Fahrenheit to 243 degrees below zero. Or 215 degrees above Fahrenheit to minus 243 degrees below in 15 days. It's that extreme. The earth is the right distance from the right size moon for the life as we know it to exist. The ratio of the size of the moon to the earth is 10 times greater than for any other planet's moon in our solar system. If the moon were 100 times smaller, listen to this is awesome, an average moon size, that's the average moon size, its brightness would be reduced by 20 times and its influence on earth would be greatly changed. The moon is on average about 240,000 miles away. The gravitational pull, as we know, affects our oceans and our tides, high tides and low tides. It affects all that. It impacts all that. If the moon were only 50,000 miles away, the Earth's gravitational pull would be so great that the oceans would completely submerge the surface of the Earth two times every day. If the moon was just a little far, little closer to us. This wasn't by accident. This was by design. God is a God of order. One who establishes. The fact that water just expands. A few more tidbits and we'll dive into the true sermon. The fact that the water just expands when it freezes is also by design. Water expands by 9% when it freezes. Most other things contract and get heavier when they freeze. Think about this. Water freezes and it floats. This puts a protective layer on top of ponds and lakes. If the ice sank to the bottom, all the life on the pond and lake would freeze and die. It's not by accident. This was by design. God created this. He put this in place. He is a God of order, not a God of confusion. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, but ever since creation of the world, and things that have been made, so they are without excuse." A lot of people say, what about a tribe in Africa? What about this person? What about somebody who's never heard the gospel? The Bible says here in Romans that God reveals Himself through creation every single day. And that man is without excuse. He reveals Himself. Why? Because He's a God of order. The Bible says in Psalm 19:1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands." God brought order into our universe. Without God, there would be no order. There would be confusion. Now think about the world we live in. We are slowly and gradually trying to discredit the existence of God. And now we live in a land of confusion. Now we live in a land of confusion. We have spiritual confusion. We reject God's plan for spiritual life. The result is confusion. The Bible tells us that in the end times, there will be great spiritual confusion. It's all around us. Great deception. The end of time will be a time of heightened spiritual activity, but also a time of spiritual deception. The times we're living in are filled with spiritual deception. We need to remember that Satan is the author of confusion, the author of chaos, right? He's always the opposite of what God is. He is the one that brings chaos. He is the one that brings confusion. He wants to deceive us. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your life. And as Pastor Mark tells us all the time, more importantly, he wants to steal your faith. Because if he gets your faith, he'll get everything else. He'll get everything else. 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, characterized by spiritual division." The church has never been more divided than it is today. There is doctrinal differences. There is conflict with worship and music. What church model to use? Even worse, the division about the Word of God and what it says or does not say. Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's the problem right now. We're wrestling against flesh and blood. That's why there's confusion. Because we're wrestling amongst ourselves. Our fight is with spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our fight. That's what we're battling. There's also a spiritual decline in our nation. The spiritual condition of the church has contributed to this chaotic environment. The church as a whole today is much like the Lacedaemonian church that was neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Matthew 24:12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold," the Bible tells us. We also live in a day of social confusion. When you reject God's plan for the home and family, the result is confusion and chaos. The essential building block of society is the family. We are witnessing the collapse of our culture and the resulting confusion due to the attacks on home and family structure. God designed this, and when man tries to redefine it, confusion abounds. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall live as one flesh." That's God's plan. That's God's plan. So real quick, how do we get back out of this confusion? How do we get past this land of confusion that every day we're inundated with on TV and internet and Facebook and Twitter and you name it? It's all politically driven and politically challenged. You're better off not to turn TV on. You're better off. Just play video game. Brandon, just play video game. Kelly, no, you ain't playing video games. Oh. Try it. I think the first thing you do is you got to calibrate daily. In the leak detection repair world, which myself and Mark and Eric Halstead resides in, our daily functions are to manage programs, environmental programs at facilities. And one of the first aspects every single day you do to that monitoring instrument is you calibrate it. You calibrate that instrument to a known standard. A known standard. That instrument works better when it's calibrated. You can trust the its output better when it's calibrated to a known standard. We calibrate to a known standard each day to ensure the equipment operates correctly. The known standard now becomes the test to prove the instrument is ready to use and the data is accurate that we receive. We need to calibrate and spiritually to a known standard. That standard is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Truly a standard we can calibrate our lives to every single day. The monitoring equipment becomes more reliable. The data it gives is more accurate because of calibrating. The same can be said of our lives. We have less confusion and more clarity when we calibrate to the standard. Jesus is the standard. We should calibrate to. The Word of God leads us. It directs us. There are many voices in your worlds. Today, I'm just one voice, but you will hear that you will hear. But the voice we need to calibrate to is the voice of truth, right? The voice of truth. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. And out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Calibrate. Jesus defeated the devil during his 40 days in temptation by using the word as his standard response. We would be wise to do the same. It's impossible to spot a counterfeit dollar if you don't know what a real one looks like. It's impossible. You know the Justice Department? They don't study counterfeits. They study the real document. They study the real $20 bill. They study the real $100 bill. Is there a $1,000 bill? I've never seen one, but probably not. That's probably why I've never seen one. But they study the real document. They study those. They don't study the counterfeit. They study the real thing. When you know the real thing, you can spot a counterfeit. Right. You don't need to see all the templates because you know the real thing. Amen. And you want to get out of this land of confusion in your personal life, which will impact the world around you. You got to calibrate daily to Jesus Christ. You got to calibrate daily to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Calibrate daily. Calibrate yourself daily to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. Number two, convictions matter. Your convictions matter. When you're calibrated daily to the standard Jesus Christ, when you're aligning yourself with what the Word of God says you are and how you should live on a daily basis, your convictions now should align with the Word of God. Now, I'm not using the conviction as this, we're preaching a hellfire and brimstone message, and I'm convicting you. You're under conviction of the Spirit of God to be drawn to Him. I'm talking about the conviction of what we know, our belief system. Our belief system. There's two types of conviction. It's not about all guilt. It's this one here I want to talk about is about our beliefs. What we believe matters. And our convictions are what helps us maintain a truly balance in our lives. What I believe in changes the way I live on a daily basis. I was thinking about this song last night, and I actually downloaded it and started playing it. I love the song Creed by Petra. I actually downloaded the whole Beyond Belief album last night. You should be proud of me. That's a really good album, actually. Beyond Belief, if you don't never listen to Petra, just go to buy Beyond Belief. It's a really good album. It's a really good album. But this song is Creed, and I was going to do the Apostles' Creed, and it's kind of, I like this better. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son. I was going to sing it, but I'm not John Schlipp. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the man of sorrows, bruised for iniquities. I believe in the Lamb who was crucified and hung between two thieves. I believe in the resurrection on the third and glorious day. I believe in the empty tomb and the stone that the angel rolled away. He descended and set the captive free, and now he sits at God's right hand and prepares a place for me. This is my creed, the witness I have heard, the faith that has endured, the truth that is assured. Through the darkest ages past, though persecuted, it will last, and I will stand fast to this creed. I believe he sent his comfort, spirit to comfort and to reveal, to lead us into truth and light, and to baptize and to seal. I believe that he will come back the way he went away and receive us all to himself, but no man knows the day. I believe he is the judge of all men, small and great. The resurrected souls of men receive him for their fate, some to death, some to life, some to their reward, some to sing eternal praise forever to our Lord. That's what I believe. And those beliefs, those convictions should change how I live on a daily basis. Amen. When you're going through a tough time, those convictions matter. When you're facing a mountain you've never faced in your life, those convictions matter. Daniel's convictions got him thrown in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's convictions got him thrown in a fiery furnace. Both were restored miraculously through God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And even Jesus, some believe Jesus personally showed up in the middle of that fiery furnace with those three Hebrew children that day. The manifestation of the Son of God showed up. Why? Because their convictions, what they believed, mattered. And they only didn't just believe it, they lived it. They lived it. They lived their beliefs. So when you're going through something, when there's confusion, when there's chaos, calibrate to the standard. Trust your convictions. Trust what you know in your head to be true. Don't ever doubt that. And last, don't compromise. Don't compromise. You've calibrated. You know what you're calibrated to, which is Jesus Christ. You know what your convictions are. You've seen, you have testimony and proof of God miraculously. You know, just a moment, I don't talk about it as much, but I'll never forget. Y'all remember when I walked around for 12 weeks on crutches and that stroller that Kelly got me from Boyd's in-home medical. She got me that adult stroller and had the little wheels. I couldn't push myself. I just sat. It was terrible. It was awful. But I remember going back to the doctor about a year later, right? And they went in, and I had an aneurysm in my foot, which eroded my heel out to my foot to like an eggshell. There was nothing there. It was only about that much bone. So they packed my foot and rebuilt it and blah, blah, blah. So I go back like a year later for a visit. And he comes in the room and he looks at me. He says, well, a third of it's went away. He says, it's dissipated. It's gone. I said, is that good? He said, no, it's not good. I said, what are my options? He said, we could do surgery again. I'm thinking, no, I'm thinking adult stroller. I'm thinking crutches. I didn't want to do surgery. He said, we could take a real long needle and we can squirt some compound in there. He said, but you still can't walk on it for 12 weeks. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? I tell you what, let's come back in a couple weeks. We're going to pray about it. And we'll just pray about it, see what happens. So I go back a couple weeks later, and he takes an x-ray, and he comes in the room. He's like, he said, your bone grew back. I said, what? He said, your bone grew back. He says, completely full. He said, I don't know what happened. I said, well, we prayed about it. I believe in a God who heals. Amen. I believe he can heal us mentally. He can heal us emotionally. He can heal us physically. And my beliefs matter when it comes to that. My beliefs matter when it comes to that. When I'm facing something, when I'm struggling with something, when I got this mountain standing in front of me, my belief that yes, he can matters. My conviction matters at that moment. And don't ever doubt that conviction. Don't ever fight that belief. Max Lucado once says, doubt your doubts before you doubt your beliefs. Think about that. Doubt your doubts. Doubt what you're doubting before you doubt what you believe in. And I believe in him. So don't compromise. We fail in so many areas in our lives. Finances, diets, exercise, eating right. That's all just me. That we just accept coming short in every area of our lives, don't we? We just accept coming short. We tolerate missing the mark in the natural, that the same temperament follows us into our spiritual lives. We become less and less alarmed at our shortcomings and mistakes. That then turns into searching for quick fixes and short-term solutions, when in reality, we need a long-term solution. The enemy wants you to question. He wants you to doubt. That's where the confusion and chaos comes from. That's what he brings. The Bible says he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Nothing about that sounds promising. Nothing about that makes me want to sign up for it. I don't want nothing stolen from me. I don't want nobody to kill me. I don't want nobody to destroy me. Yet so many times we allow him to roll right into our lives to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he's aimed to do. And it brings confusion. It brings chaos. It's a cat in a house that don't have a cat. Right? It's not a good day. It's chaos and confusion. Don't compromise. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is the absence of confusion and chaos. How many of you agree with that? When we give God our lives, when we give our lives over to Jesus, we are then at peace with God. As we turn over our lives, area of our lives to God, we will experience order, we will experience peace and blessings from our Heavenly Father. Think of how many people are living in chaos because they've ignored God and His calling on their lives. Think about how many people are living in chaos because they have not taken the gospel message to them in love. God sent His only Son to die for us. He does not want us to live in chaos. So I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know if it's, but I can tell you this, it's real. It's real to you. I've never wanted to doubt that people don't have problems. I've never wanted to be the guy that's like, just trust the Lord. Right? I remember Catherine in small group years ago, we were talking about that. Yeah. Somebody's like, just trust the Lord. She says, I just want to punch him in the mouth. Right? Sometimes somebody's just giving you some spiritual pep talk. You don't need a spiritual pep talk. Right? Sometimes saying nothing's the best thing you can say. Praying from a distance. But I've never doubted what you're going through is not real. But I assure you that the God we serve is real too. That standard of Jesus Christ, when you calibrated Him on a daily basis, when He is the known standard, and it changes your convictions, and it doesn't allow you to compromise, there won't be confusion. There won't be chaos. Doesn't mean your problem instantaneously disappears. Doesn't mean the rainbows show up. Doesn't mean there's the unicorns running down the street and everybody's going, yay! Doesn't mean all that. You've heard me say it many times. Sometimes He stands up on the boat of your life and He'll just say, peace, be still. But there's other times He'll sit there on the boat with you as you're going through that storm. We all want the storm to go away. I want it to go away in your life as well. But while that storm is raging, don't change your convictions. Don't compromise what you believe in. Don't change that. Because that's where the confusion, that's when the chaos runs in. Don't allow the confusion in our world, our daily lives, the TV and the fake news and all the garbage that's going on around us. Don't allow that to penetrate that armor of God that you're supposed to be wearing. Don't allow that inside your heart and inside your mind. I'm not telling you ignore it because it's there. I mean, you're bombarded with it. But don't allow it to change who you are. That's why calibrating to that known standard is so important on a daily basis. A daily basis. Rick will get in trouble with the EPA if they showed up and audited his cow book if he only did it once a week. Right? It's supposed to be done every single day. And in the natural, and guess what? In the spiritual. Calibrate every single day to that standard of Jesus Christ. It'll impact your convictions. It'll give you the strength not to compromise. And it'll get you out of this land of confusion that we find ourselves running around in at times. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You that You are a God of peace, a God of order. Lord, that You crush chaos in our lives. That in our darkest moments, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because You're with us. You're leading us. You're guiding us. You're beside us. So Lord, I pray for those who right now are in that confusion moment of their lives. They're in that time where they have more questions than answers. Lord, I pray that the voices of the world will be blocked out to them, and they'll hear the voice of truth that'll tell them a different story. They'll hear a voice that promises hope, that brings peace, that brings love, that brings healing, because that's who you are. You're a God of order, not chaos.